We're going to talk about freedom again this morning. My brother and sister-in-law are here today. Nice to have them and all the rest of you. Thanks for coming today to be a part of this service. We talked last Sunday about being free from, a quick review, free from materialism and bondage to the idea that I am what I have. We talked about being free from bondage to appearance, the idea that I am what I look like. Freedom from the past and its deception that I am what I used to be. Freedom from peer pressure that says I am what my peers say I should be. And even freedom from selfishness that says I am whatever I want to be. We discover that we have been set free by our faith in Christ. And Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But we said then that freedom for the follower of Christ is not freedom just to do as we please or to do whatever we want to do. For the Bible says we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He created us with a godly purpose and destiny in mind. And so freedom for the believer is found in our surrender and therefore in our obedience to Christ and the fulfillment of His purpose in our lives. By surrendering our life to Jesus, we're free from the controlling power of sin. We're free then to be everything God created us to be, to do everything God created us to do. And the truth is, you hear people talk about the human, human potential and all that. Well, we reach our full potential as human beings when we are free to do those good works which we were created to do. Our human potential is realized as we walk in obedience to Christ and we surrender to Him. We're fully complete. We're His unique handiwork. We're this unique creation of God. And He desires that we be free so we can be released to fulfill everything He's created us to do. That's what the abundant life is. The Bible says He's come to give us life and that more abundantly. That abundant life is found in surrendering our life to Him and doing what He's called us to do, being the people He's called us to be and living in obedience. Last Sunday morning we shared from this passage of Scripture from Galatians 5, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Last Sunday night we celebrated communion, rejoicing in the fact that Jesus set us free from sin and guilt and condemnation. And we acknowledge that we are free, but Paul warns us that we mustn't allow ourselves to become, what he says, burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That we are free by His grace, and we remain free by God's grace as we participate in that freedom. And how do we do that? We participate by our choices. We participate through spiritual disciplines. We participate by our ongoing surrender, by guarding our hearts against the things that would try to, again, enslave us to bondage. So this morning I want to talk just a few minutes, because that's all the time we've got, but I want to talk a few minutes specifically about freedom from bitterness. Bitterness is something that potentially troubles all of us. It kind of lurks around us, always looking for a way to kind of intrude in our life and to make gains in our life. The Greek word that's translated as in our Bible as bitter is built from a root word which had the idea of piercing or cutting something. Like if you prick your finger on a thorn bush, there's a prick, a cut there. And it has a sharp cutting edge to it. So they would say that an herb that had a bitter taste, it had a cutting taste to it, a sharp taste to it, and they said something was bitter. So that idea, we began to get a picture of a sharp little cut that pierces, that leads to, it led to the idea of bitterness. Figuratively, then it began to suggest poison. So when it said someone was bitter, it meant they were poisoned. There was a cut that had brought poison into their life. Well, let me give you an example of some things that, some little cuts that can lead to bitterness and can spread poison in our life. Disappointment can lead to bitterness. Somebody disappointed you, they let you down, they wronged you somehow. They said something unkind or untrue about you or your family, or maybe they never said anything about your family, you just heard it from somebody else that they were talking about you, and now you've grown bitter because of something you thought they said, a perceived wound or wrong. Or maybe just life in general has disappointed you. Things haven't turned out the way you planned and the way you expected. Things happened, your parents divorced, or there was an untimely death, somebody that you love died prematurely, it seemed, or you've suffered a chronic illness in your body and your life, and you just feel like God's disappointed you, and over time a bitterness has begun to affect your spirit and mind and your body. Your perspective on life has been affected by this, and you've grown more critical and angry and frustrated. You've prayed and nothing's happened. I prayed and prayed and God still hadn't come on the scene. He hasn't done what I asked Him to do, and bitterness just begins to grow and spread in your life. Disappointment can lead to bitterness. Injustice can lead to bitterness. When we have our rights, when we feel that our rights have been violated, we can become bitter. That was my car. That's my property. That's my space. That's my stuff, and you violated it. And we are Americans, after all. And we're pretty quick to point out our rights and to demand our rights. I want my rights. We feel like we've been untreated unfairly or unjustly, and that lingering resentment and anger from an injustice turns to bitterness. And we start to think, you know what, I deserve better than this. I deserve better than this from God. I deserve better than this from my parents or from a spouse or from a friend. I deserve better than this from my children. They've not treated me right. Or from my teachers. Or I deserve better than this from my pastor or whoever it is. It's just not fair. And we find ourselves kind of sulking and spiritually, emotionally kind of marinating in our own resentment and pain. And before you know it, bitterness fills our mind and our heart, and it colors everything. And our perspective begins to change. And we just look at the world and say, you know what, I sacrificed everything for my family. I made all these sacrifices for my church and the pastor didn't even call. I made all these sacrifices for my family and they don't even care. And we sit on the porch and watch the world go by, wounded and resentful of others and angry and bitter. Unwilling and unable to change or to grow beyond that. And speaking of anger and jealousy lead to bitterness. I'll get even if it's the last thing I ever do. And anger is often an expression of bitterness towards someone. Why does she get treated better than me? How come he got the promotion? How come they seem to like, I work just as hard. I do a better job. They just like her better. Well, I'll show her. And the consequence of that anger and jealousy is a growing bitterness. And every little cut leads to a spread of that poison of bitterness. And the list could go on and on, but you get the picture. It's often just a little cut, just a small wound that it affects our feelings and our emotions. But if not dealt with, it festers and it turns to bitterness and it begins to poison everything. And one of the dangerous things about bitterness is that in the early stages, it's hardly noticed. You know, I mean, we look and act like everything's just fine. We're still friendly or at least civil to that person that we, in our heart, wish they would just drop dead right there in front of us. But, hey, how you doing? Yeah, good to see you. Bless your little heart. You know, and we kind of go away. And we think nobody even knows that we have this feeling or this attitude, and we tell ourselves, it's just between me and that person, and I'm going to get even, but so I'm bitter, big deal. I have a right to be bitter. I have a right to have these feelings, and it's not hurting anybody but them. I'm going to get back at them. And the truth is, the only person that's really hurting and all that's you. Remember a guy telling me, the last time I was around him, he said something that hurt me so bad, I've had it with him. I'm not talking to him. I've had it. And you know what? The person that said it, they didn't even know they said it. And they're just bebopping along. They're just happy as larks, you know. They're just having a great time. And the only person that's miserable is the person that's decided to not forgive and to hold this bitterness in their heart. And it's eating them alive. And really? You're going to hurt him with that? You're killing yourself. And the thing is, it's not just between you and that person, but it begins to affect every part of your life, because bitterness has a root system that contaminates all of your life, your spirit and your soul and your mind and body, and it begins to have a devastating effect on everybody around you. So bitterness has a devastating root system. Here's what the Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And bitterness, as we said, starts out with that little cut, just a little offense, and you get your feelings hurt and you're wounded by something, and nobody can even see the wound, but that little offense opens that cut, and unless you deal with it and forgive it and surrender it to the Lord, whatever, a seed of strife or bitterness gets planted in that cut, and the root immediately begins to grow in your inner man. and all this underground root activity is going on while everything looks just fine. Maybe even tell yourself, oh, everything's fine, and then suddenly the root breaks through the surface and people are wondering why the fruit's so bitter. It's because the root is bitter, and the only kind of fruit it can bear is a bitter fruit, and it grows up and it causes all kinds of trouble. When we built our house, I've heard people say, oh boy, it's terrible, all these decisions, and it'll just, if you don't have a good marriage, trying to build a house will just tear you up. Well, we must have a great marriage because, I mean, it was wonderful. It was a pleasure. The only time that I saw Paula kind of start to lose it was the day that they laid out the flower beds around our house. And I'm pretty sure we have larger flower beds than anybody in our neighborhood. And we pulled up out there and Paula said, look at the flower beds. And I mean, literally, kind of tears in her eyes. And she said, what are we going to do? I said, we'll put concrete or something. No, what are we going to do? We're not those people. We're not those people to be out there working in the garden and flower beds and stuff. We're not. What are we going to do? I said, well, I don't know. We'll figure it out. So guess what? We're still not those people that work. And it's just pure shame that the neighbors drive by and shake their head that actually gets us out there part of the time to pull up weeds and stuff. And so Paul was out there, and it takes us 2 or 3 days to recover from the entire thing of being out there. It's like, we have to help each other up and stuff. Anyway, it's a terrible, terrible thing. So I was leaving to go to a meeting, and Paula said, I'm pulling weeds out there. She said, but there's a couple things I can't get out. And you know those weeds that can, like 2 days later, it's standing taller than what your hedge that's been out there for 5 years? Like, how can something grow that fast? And I said, well, I'll pull it up. And I mean, I pulled and couldn't get it up. And finally managed to get out. It had roots that long that had gone everywhere in there. Like, how can that happen? That's what bitterness is. It's a bitter root that grows and spreads and begins to infiltrate everywhere it can go. You pull and pull and pull and realize this thing goes deeper and stronger and larger than what you expected. That's the root of bitterness. And it'll wreak havoc in your soul. You can't worship God and love other people when bitterness is wrapping itself around your life, and that root system will affect everything. It defiles relationships. That word, it says that it'll grow up in trouble and defile many. The word defile means to stain or contaminate or to pollute. And bitterness not only puts a stain on us and our character and personality, but it pollutes the environment around us. It isn't just what happens to you when you're bitter. It's what happens to others as well. A wife or a husband go through a divorce, they're bitter at one another, and that bitterness then poisons the children and poisons the grandchildren. It becomes a generational thing as poison spreads through a family. And you personally, a poison of bitterness is like a paralyzing drug, and you can't move on with your life because bitterness paralyzes you. It holds you in place. You're not happy. You don't want anybody else to be happy. And you spend your time rehearsing the wound and the offense and just want to inflict pain on others because the root is bitter and the only kind of fruit that comes from it is bitter. Isn't it amazing how we can rehearse those wounds and offenses that have come from somebody else? I hadn't even thought of it until I was preaching in first service, and I said, you know what? I can't remember for sure what I wore yesterday, but I can remember the guy in the Sam's about 8 months ago that said, hey, way to leave your basket in the aisle there, butt, or whatever, and went on his way. And I thought, what happened with you? I wanted to follow the guy out of the store. I wasn't sure what I was going to do when I got there. I thought of snappy comebacks. I should have just pulled my phone out and snapped a picture and said, I'm going to put that under the jerks I met today category of my Facebook or whatever. But I remember what that guy said to me, but I don't remember what I wore yesterday. What's wrong with that? We rehearse the wounds. We remember, I remember in 1953, I went to one of those Assembly of God churches, and the pastor said, well, who cares what he said in 1953? Really? Really? That's what you're holding on to? There are people that, I'm telling you, I can't do this because I won't get done, but I know what's going to happen, and I feel bad about it. There are people that are going to stand before God and say, the reason I didn't go to church, the reason I quit going is because that Phil Taylor was such a sorry, no good, whatever. And one time he said this to me, and one time he did this, and I said, that's it. I'm never going back. And God's going to say, I knew he was a sorry the whole time. But that shouldn't have kept you from serving God and going to heaven. You let bitterness poison your life, and it kept you from the blessings of God. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, the sinner. I know who I am. But don't go to hell because I'm a sinner. Surrender your life to Jesus. Don't let bitterness capture your heart. Don't let it affect you and your family and your grandchildren. That's why the writer of Hebrews said it'll wound everybody around you. It's like a hand grenade. It's not just one person. There's shrapnel that spreads. It's a root system that poisons people and families. Don't let it happen. So the writer of Hebrews says, so see to it. Guard it. Make sure. Look out for it. And don't let it paralyze you and poison others around you. Bitterness involves bondage. In Acts chapter 8, Peter and John had come to the revival in Samaria. Philip had been preaching and people had been born again. Peter and John came to see what was going on, and they said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And began to lay hands on people. And Simon, a sorcerer, followed them around and said, I'll give you money to give me the power to do for people what you're doing. And Peter turned around and said, I see that you're full of bitterness and captive to sin. And King James Version uses the word gall. I see that you're in the gall of bitterness. Gall is bile or poison. And Peter was literally saying, I see that you're poisoned by bitterness and controlled by sinful choices. And folks, if we allow bitterness to grow in our heart and life, we'll find it restricting our choices and binding up our choices. We're not free to love. We're not free to forgive. We're not free to move on in our life because bitterness ensnares us and imprisons us. It holds us captive. You're being controlled by bitterness. You respond in bitter ways. Your attitude, your perspective, your choices are bitter. And the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to respond that way. You don't want to respond that way, but it grows because the root inside is so strong. Bitterness is a controlling bondage. And bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit and hinders the work of God. Ephesians 4, Paul said, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. And then I believe these are some things that grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So he said, so get rid of all the bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander along with every form of malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another and forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And the grace of God and the life flow of the Holy Spirit and His work are hindered in our life when we're full of bitterness. The work of a church and a community is hindered if there's bitterness that spreads in the church. And wouldn't it be sad if our own personal bitterness kept others from being touched and changed by the grace of God? You see, bitterness costs us in a multitude of ways. It's time to get rid of bitterness, and as the Scripture says, to forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave us. So bitterness spreads and defiles with its poison, but there is a freedom and a victory that's available to us today. And what do? We surrender to the Lord. Freedom from bitterness requires surrendering your life to Christ. You see, surrender to Him is essential to our freedom. And through our faith in Christ as Savior and Lord, we surrender our life to Him. We place control of our life and of our choices in His hands. And when we surrender our life to Him, it means we surrender everything to Him. Our past, our present, our future, all we have, all we were, all we are, how we view life, everything is surrendered to Him. So think about it for just a minute. Think about our perspective. When we've allowed bitterness to creep in, we look at life and think, you know, we rehearse those wounds. It's not right that somebody did that to me. It's not fair that they betrayed me. It's not fair that they died so young. It's not fair that he divorced me. It's not fair that she cheated on me. Why didn't God fix this? Life's not fair and God's unfair and I've got every right to be bitter. And that becomes our perspective. And when we surrender our life, including our perspective, to the Lord, we start to realize, you know what, I probably didn't have enough information to come up with that conclusion that God was not being fair with me and to become bitter. We don't know what the end truly is going to be. We don't know what really might have happened. We don't know what would have been best for us. We're not God. We don't know. Remember the questions God asked of Job in those last few chapters of the book of Job? When Job felt like he had enough information and knowledge to be able to kind of judge God and put him on the witness stand, I've got some questions I'd like to ask you, God, because I don't think you've dealt with me fairly. And God said, I'll be happy to answer your questions if first you'll answer a few questions for me. And then God said things like, have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place? Have you ever produced a sunrise or a sunset, Job? Or what's the way to the abode of light? Can you tell me where darkness resides when you can't see it? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the paths to their dwellings? And suddenly the Bible says, Job put his hand over his mouth and repented and said, I can't answer any of those questions. I don't know. And God said, well, good, when you can answer those, come back and see me, and we'll settle this. Oh, he didn't say that, but I'm paraphrasing. The point is, no, I can't make the sun come up, and I can't make it go down, and I don't know the process that's going on, and I don't really know the end from the beginning. I barely know how to get back to my office and take the microphone off and get to lunch this afternoon. So for me to decide that God's not been fair because things have turned out the way, well, you know what? It hadn't turned out yet because it's still in process. And when we surrender our life completely to the Lord, our perspective and our view of things can begin to change. And when we view life from God's perspective, we realize maybe I can't see the future and maybe I don't know everything, but I know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. And so I'm going to choose not to become bitter over the way things have turned out. Instead, I'm going to surrender both the process and the outcome to Him. I'm going to trust Him in His timing, that God is still at work, that I'm still alive, that all things are still possible if I believe. The Apostle Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And it's not complete yet. It's not done yet. So I can't raise my fist and say, God, I'm angry at the way things have turned out. He's saying, that's because you stuck your finger in there before I put all the ingredients in. You know what I'm talking about? You ever, mom's been cooking something and you know it's going to be a cake and it's really going to be good. And it's flour and butter and a couple other things, and you stick your finger in and go, boy, that needs something. I know that's because I haven't finished making it yet. And we do that with our life. God, this stinks. And He says, I haven't put the brown sugar in it yet. I'm putting 6 cups of brown sugar and 5 sticks of butter. God and Paula Deen cook together. God says, I'm going to make something out of this. But keep your fingers out of it until I get it done. Right? Thank you. That wasn't in my notes. That won't be in the notes if you read the manuscript. Look, He's not finished yet. Wait and see what He has in store. Let me say it again. Surrender the process and the outcome into the Lord's hands and rest in His timing. Yeah, but you don't understand. They offended me and they hurt me. They lied about me. I'll never get over what they did to me. They violated my rights and I deserve to get even. Well, you know what? The Bible says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Guess what? Dead people don't have rights and they can't be offended. You can stand at the casket and say, you know what? I never did like you. And you're one ugly guy. He's not going to get up and say anything to you. He's not offended. Dead people aren't offended. They surrendered their rights. And Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. And now Christ lives in me. I died to that old man. I no longer live. If you know what? I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm not going to try to get even. I'm crucified with Christ and Jesus lives in me. We surrendered our rights when we made Christ Savior and Lord. I'm yours, Lord. If it doesn't bother you, then I don't want it to bother me. Yeah, but they said, I know. And I'm not suggesting you become a doormat for everybody to wipe their feet on. But when we become bitter over things and offenses that maybe weren't even intentional, I don't know, big or little, let it go. Let it go. Don't allow yourself to become bitter over some offense that because you feel like your rights were violated. Surrender it to the Lord. When you surrendered your life to Him, you surrendered it all to Him, didn't you? Every right and privilege and plan and purpose of yours now belong to God, and we're free now to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just surrender it to Him and don't allow yourself to become bitter over those offenses. And the truth is, we Christians could probably stand to develop a little thicker skin anyway. Because I've seen Christians just look for a reason to be offended by someone or look for a reason to be offended by a church. Well, they weren't very friendly over there. Well, I went to Sunday school and nothing. They wouldn't even talk to me. And you know what? There's nothing sadder than a bunch of bitter Christians sitting around mad at each other and mad at the world and just gritting their teeth at everybody. I remember Gail Irwin talking about Jonah sitting up there under that vine, that gourd, you know, that grew up. And some mom and her daughter walking by and the little girl says, Mama, who's that man up there? And she says, oh, that's the prophet of God, the preacher. Why does he look so mad? Because God didn't kill us all and send us to hell. Oh, okay. And some people, they look at bitter people and bitter Christians and bitter churches and think, what's the deal with those people? Oh, they're just mad that God hadn't rained fire down on all the sinners in Tulsa and killed them all, or whatever, and we're just angry and bitter. You know what? Surrender it all to the Lord. Stop looking for reasons to be offended and start looking for ways to serve. Stop looking for reasons to be bitter about things and look for ways to serve God and serve others and love others and go to Mexico. All right? If you can't think of somewhere else to go, get involved. Do something. Go volunteer somewhere. Don't get bitter. Well, I'm tired of those Christians. Then go save sinners. But bitterness isn't going to get us anywhere. I got to finish. 1 Corinthians 6 says, you're not your own, you're bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Everything you have, everything you own ultimately belongs to the Lord. So I'm going to choose not to be bitter because you opened your car door into my door and scratched my brand new car. Well, I'm not going to go to hell over that, and I'm not going to become bitter over that and let it affect everything else. I'm not going to be bitter because you accidentally dropped my broke my casserole dish at the potluck supper, and I'm not going to be bitter because I overheard somebody say, that's the nastiest green bean casserole I've ever eaten in my life. If you don't think there's somebody in somebody's church that quit going because some woman said, that's nasty, that green bean casserole right there, then you just haven't been a Christian long enough to be in a good Protestant church. Hell's cluttered with bad recipes. I don't know, but anyway, I'm just telling you. I'm telling you, there are people just like offended by all kinds of things. Listen, I don't belong to myself. So my casserole and my recipe, it all belongs to Jesus as well. He bought and paid for me. So He can do with me and my possessions as He desires. I've surrendered it all to Him. Surrender, folks. Surrender your right to be angry. Surrender the supposed right you have to criticize everybody and everything. Surrender your right to get even, to hold a grudge, to be bitter at someone. Surrender all those wounds and offenses of the past. Surrender all of this to Jesus. Instead of looking for reasons to be offended and become bitter, look for opportunity to forgive and to bless others and be free. I'm telling you, bitterness paralyzes you and binds you up, but surrendering it all to Jesus and letting go of all that stuff, you'll be the freest you've ever been. Remember that as you forgive others, the grace of God flows to you and forgiveness comes to you. Jesus said, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Unforgiveness cuts off the flow of God's grace into your life. It stifles it, and bitterness takes over and poisons you and pollutes everybody around you. Forgive and let His grace and His forgiveness flow to you. It's time to surrender the bitterness to Jesus. Surrender is the key to that freedom. Surrender your life to Jesus. Be free to live as He intended. Free of bondage and slavery to sin and guilt and condemnation and bitterness and unforgiveness. And you'll be free to live a holy life in Christ. So let me ask you this morning, these last 2 minutes, are there areas in your life of rejection or anger or disappointment? Maybe they haven't really festered into bitterness, but you've been hurt and wounded and rejected and you're just having a hard time kind of dealing with that. Having a hard time forgiving and letting go. And you recognize you need to surrender it to the Lord before it turns into bitterness in your heart. I'm not telling you this is a one-time fix. Repeat these words, say this prayer, and it'll all be better tomorrow. I'm telling you, you may get to say that today and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and a couple of times this afternoon. But it is a process where God works and His grace and His forgiveness flows to us as we allow it to flow through us and to others. Today's the day to surrender it. Or maybe you recognize there's bitterness in your life in some area and you just, I want to be free. I encourage you to surrender your life. Surrender that right to stay angry and bitter. Surrender it all. Lord, here it is. Here it is. Here's the process and here's the outcome. Here's the future. If they take everything I've got, Lord, I'd rather be free of bitterness than to have everything in the world and be full of that poison. Lord, just I surrender the wounds and I even give you the ones who inflicted the wounds on me. I surrender them all to Jesus. Some of those wounds are deep. Some of them go all the way back to childhood. Maybe some of you can look back and see a root system of bitterness in your family back a couple of three generations. And bitterness fed bitterness fed bitterness. And you can be the one that says, you know what? By God's grace, I'm cutting that thing off at the root. I'm pulling it up, and it's not going to affect me or my family or my children or grandchildren. It's not going to control my life. And if you ask Jesus today, He's going to help you. He has come. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Would you stand with me this morning? I want you to examine your heart this morning, and if there's bitterness there, the things I just mentioned, if there's anger and resentment, if you can look back and see how that poison has been at work in your life, there's an antidote for that poison. It's surrendering to Jesus Christ this morning. And I encourage you to do it. Our pastors are here. If anyone would like to come, they're here to pray with you this morning. But right there, you may find, well, I don't want to walk down there and people know I'm bitter or whatever. Pray right there where you are. But we're here to help you and serve you in any way we can. But right there where you are, as you examine your heart, would you put it in His hands today? Would you be willing to surrender it to Jesus? The bitterness, the wounds, the ones who wounded you, put them in His hands. Take your hands off of your rights and your right to seek revenge and your right to settle the score. Take your hands off of them. And let Him have it. Turn it over to Him today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You in need of Your forgiveness and in need of Your grace. We come today, Lord, acknowledging that we're sinners always in need of that cleansing grace of Christ. Aware, Lord, that some of those wounds that have come in recent days have the potential of festering in us if we don't turn loose of them, and we choose to do that today. In big or small ways, a little slight or a major offense, Lord, it doesn't matter. It cuts and it wounds. And left undealt with, bitterness can begin to grow. And I don't want it there, Lord. So I surrender it to You today. I ask for that healing to come into our lives today as we turn to You. Life's been unfair to us, Lord, but we surrender any approach to bitterness over it. Somebody wounded us, a spouse, a friend. Somebody did something that betrayed us. Someone lied about us. Someone did something that broke our hearts, Lord. Life hasn't turned out the way we expected. This isn't what we signed up for, and yet here we are, Lord. But I'm not going to become bitter about it. I recognize there's a process, and I put it in Your hands. We're not done yet. I can't say that life's been unfair, Lord. It's still unfolding for me. I'm going to trust You with my days. I'm going to trust You that if I live that holy life and walk with You in obedience, Lord, You're going to take care of this. And so, Lord, I surrender it to You. Bitterness from the past, I turn loose of it. I won't carry it any longer. And Lord, we cut that root system off today. That we release it to You. And we're going to live and walk in Your forgiveness and in Your grace. And not bitterness. And when we do it, Lord, You're going to flow through us and Your peace is going to be ours. We receive that peace now. Settle it over us, Lord, as we surrender to You. I give You everything, Lord. I give You everything, Lord. I don't have to contend for it. I don't have to protect it from others. I don't have to preserve things. I give it all to You. It's all in Your hands, Lord. And then You'll put back in our hands what we need to carry out Your purpose and Your plan for today. But Lord, I surrender it all, control of it all to You. I can't bear it anymore, Lord. So I give it all to You. In Jesus' name. Would you sing this little chorus that PJ's playing as a prayer and an offering to the Lord? I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Just sing it one more time. I surrender all. I do. I surrender it to You. I surrender all to Thee. My blessed Savior, I surrender all. Freedom comes as we surrender it all to Jesus. And His peace comes to us today. As I concluded that first service this morning, I thought there are churches around this nation that, as part of their worship, they had people turn to one another and they said, "The peace of the Lord be with you." And they responded, "And also with you." You know what? I'm glad the peace of the Lord is with us. I want you to do that as we leave today. Turn to somebody. Just say, "The peace of the Lord be with you." And you respond to him, "And also with you." Would you do it? Just share the peace of the Lord with somebody. "The peace of the Lord be with you. And also with you." Go in His peace and go in His grace. Be free of the bitterness. Come back tonight and laugh with us. With Aaron Wilburn, be blessed. Thanks, people.